today we're going to be reflecting on the last year and sort of looking forward to the year that's coming. And to do that, I want to talk a little bit about the book of Psalms. And before I get into that, I just want to throw out, like, what are some words you think of when you think of the book of Psalms? Just throw out stuff. Shepherd. Lament.
Praise.
What? Psalms. Songs. Frustration. Questioning. Poetry. These are great. I think when I was attending a church that I used to attend, so I won't go into denomination, but when they would describe the book of Psalms, they'd say, oh, it's so beautiful. The Psalms are so beautiful. Which I think is true, and also a little bit of selective attention. Because the Psalms are also contain a lot of ugliness. And I think that, you know, actually the word Psalms in Hebrew is Tehillim, which means praises. But it doesn't just contain what we would consider praises, right? There's all these, exactly what you guys were talking about, laments. There's difficulties, there's questions, there's even something called imprecatory. Did I say that right? Imprecatory prayers, which are basically people ask, demanding God for vengeance. And so it's not this nice, neat praise book. It's just filled with the whole range of human emotion. And actually, that kind of used to, when I would bump up against that, that used to be a big problem for me, but it's not anymore, and I'll tell you why. These days, I kind of think of the book of Psalms as these unedited prayers spoken by people who were just desperate for God. And in their desperation, they said things that we don't tend to say when we're praying, especially given that this is a communal book. There's these raw things that are just thrown together. And I actually love that because it gives me permission to be real with God, right? Like, it gives me permission to pray in an unedited way. Now, what we don't often get now today is that these were songs that were sung. And actually, they are still sung today. If you go to a Benedictine monastery, they sing through the Book of Psalms. It takes them about 3 or 4 weeks. And they do that every single day. They sing these songs. They pray, or they pause in between to sort of let it soak in. And when they're done with that, they start over. Over and over and over again. And they don't skip over the messy parts. They're not selective about what they're singing. They sing the whole thing. And so they sing things like, "Oh Babylon, destroyer, he is happy who repays you the ills you brought on us. He shall seize and shall dash your children on the rock." They sing that along with, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." The Psalms squish all these contradictory things together, and they do it without comment. And so if you're sort of going to the book for systematic theology, you're going to be really disappointed, because it's not a systematic theology book. It's a book of poetry and music and expressions by humans to God. So in other words, it's meant to be experienced rather than dissected. It's meant to evoke a response from us. It's not prescriptive. Doesn't tell you what to do. It's evocative in that it helps us to confront our humanness. If we're paying attention, if we really allow ourselves to respond to what we're reading, And it also helps us to confront the God that we are trying to understand, trying to know. Now, many years ago, I came across the writings of a woman that I have come to love so much. And no, it's not Jan Richardson. Surprise! You thought that's all I ever read, right? No, Kathleen Norris. Anybody know, ever read Kathleen Norris? God, I love this woman. She was raised in a Baptist church, and when she graduated from high school, she basically left the church. And she went to college, and she pursued a career in writing and poetry, which I think is a brave thing to do. Not the leaving the church, but the pursuing a career in writing. And then in 1986, she was accepted to St. John's Abbey in Collegeville as an artist in residence. And as a result of that, she spent 2 years as a Benedictine oblate, which is sort of like taking temporary vows, modified vows, to be a part of this monastery, which is an odd thing for a Protestant woman to do, especially a Protestant woman who lost her faith. So she wrote this book called The Cloister Walk, and that was as a result of her time at this abbey. And a great deal of what I've come to really appreciate about the Psalms comes from that book. So in The Cloister Walk, she writes this: "The Psalms demand that we recognize that praise does not spring from a delusion that things are better than they are, but rather from the human capacity for joy. Only when we see this can we understand that both lamentation and exaltation can be forms of praise." And she also wrote, "The Psalms make us uncomfortable because they don't allow us to deny either the depth of our pain and thanksgiving and how it can, the depth of our pain or the possibility of its transformation into praise." So I've become sort of curious about this kind of juxtaposition, and how bringing all those things can be an act of worship. So I want us to begin to explore that together tonight. Now, when I think back, we just saw this video, when I think back on the life of our community in the last year, it's really clear to me that we have a ton of things to mourn and we have a ton of things to celebrate. Which is beautiful. And I think it's important to notice both of those things together. So we have felt the heaviness and the brokenness of the world and of ourselves, and we've also been really blessed in ways that I really want to remember and praise God for. So Josias and I got together this week, and we started talking about this and trying to remember. I'm just going to name a few things that we thought about together. There's other things. This isn't an exhaustive list. But I want to start with the things that were really hard this year. Some of the things. So in the last year, we mourned together the loss of 3 infants. We had 1 stillbirth and 2 miscarriages. And along with that, several of us experienced the death of family members and dear friends. And those are losses that leave a mark on you, that you can't really recover that, okay? And I think it's proper that we mourn that together, that that's something we carry together. Also in the last year, several members of our community have struggled with chronic illness and the stress and the limitations that go along with that. Some of us have struggled with interpersonal conflict and have lost relationships. And beyond the losses of our particular community, we've suffered with the larger community around us and the world around us, right? And we don't just suffer our own stuff. We share in the suffering of others. And so we saw a picture of this, the shooting death of Philando Castile and issues around racial injustice really left a mark on us this year. The political climate was especially divisive, and I think it has left us all, well, maybe not us all, but some of us at least, with some fears about our future. Standing Rock reminded us about threats to our environment and also how vulnerable people are treated by powerful people sometimes. And not least, wars around the world in places like Aleppo were really hard to carry and something that we're still struggling with. But when we look back on this last year, we didn't just think of hard things. We also have a ton of things to celebrate. So in the last year, we also got to celebrate the birth of several babies, which is awesome. We've welcomed new folks who have joined with our community and made vows in covenant with us and have started to contribute to our community. We hired Abby in the last year and to help Josias, and we also gave Josias a break this summer so that he could pursue that licensing and also just take a rest, which I think is a beautiful thing for a community to do, and I'm really glad that we could do that for him, and that's something to celebrate. We baptized several people in the last year and dedicated several children to God together. We've seen everybody reaching out and helping each other with needs that were expressed. So if you look on our Facebook community page, you'll see people who open their house to strangers, people bringing lattes and meals and Sprite when there was a need, borrowing vehicles, helping each other move, all these just sort of a million little things, which is so beautiful, and it's worth celebrating. We've seen a lot of ministry emerging from our church that doesn't really have, it's not about us, it's about reaching out. And so you saw pictures of Mariah. We helped her. Josias got to know her. She was pregnant and kind of alone, and our church kind of gathered around her and helped provide for her, and that was a really, really beautiful thing. We got to help Rezik with some clothing drives. This is a residence for homeless teens. And my house church is in the process of adopting a refugee family. We started building relationships with the homeless community around us. And then, of course, the big one recently is we got to celebrate with the Spadinos as they brought Jesus home and are helping him with his medical care and just loving on him. So again, this is an exhaustive list, but it kind of shows you we have a lot of things to mourn and a lot of things to celebrate. And I think it's important for us to hold our lamentation in tension with our thanksgiving. Communities that ignore one end of that, I've seen communities do both. I've seen communities that completely ignore the things that are there to celebrate and sort of get bogged down with the things that are hard. And I've also seen people kind of ignore those hard things in order to look less messy, okay? But I think in order to be faithful, we have to hold those things in tension. So what does this have to do with the Book of Psalms? Psalms, I think, give us a way to pray that acknowledges all of our experience, right? It doesn't edit anything out. And I think it's the way towards wholeness and intimacy with God. When my kids come to me with something important to them, whether it's something they're struggling with or something they're celebrating or whether they're just venting and raging, that is so precious to me. I love that. And I think God feels the same way. I think the reason the Psalms are included in the Bible the way they are is to demonstrate that we don't have to clean anything up before we come to God. We don't have to work on our theology and get it all right and figure everything out and edit out all of our nasty impulses. We get to say all of those things right in front of God, and actually even in our community. Psalm 142 is a really good example of this, and I'm just going to read it. Can we get the slide up there? Do I have it? Okay. So I cry aloud to the Lord. By the way, David wrote this when he was in a cave running away from someone who was trying to kill him. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. And as I was doing this, I began to wonder what our psalms would sound like. And so we're going to take some time right now to find out about that. So I'm going to give you some instructions. On this back table, you'll find some supplies and some instructions for writing your own psalm. We're going to spend about 15 minutes doing this. So I want you to take your time. Pick up one of everything, and there's also some books if you need a surface to write on. So pick up one of everything that you see. And then just find a place, kind of spread out, and find a place to respond and write down what comes to mind for you. We're going to be playing music as we do this. Am I back? Okay. The first song is actually a song that Danny wrote that is almost word for word from a psalm. I think it's the third psalm. And then the remaining music isn't going to have any words. And we're also going to leave a little bit of time at the end for sharing. And I'll give you instructions about that as we do. You're going to find that there's a rock, a stone back there. So everybody grab one of those. And when you're finished writing your psalm, I want everybody, each of you to come forward. Put your stone here. And that's a representation of your prayer collected with everyone else's prayer. And we're going to keep that as a visible reminder of our collective prayers together. In the Old Testament, they did that a lot. When there was something to remember, they built these little stone altars, and that helped them to recall these things that they want to remember. And I want to remember this. So, let's begin. Everybody file back here, and then I'll let you know. If you want to go in this room over here, that's great, as long as you're in earshot so you know when we're beginning again. If anybody wants to share just a little bit either about the process of this or share a little portion of what you wrote, we'll just take about 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm Candace. I guess looking at the questions, it was funny to me because I used to be a very reflective and introspective person, and now I realized I looked at these questions and I was like, wow, I don't really want to think about any of these things.
None of them?
I don't know that I do. I kind mm-hmm. of like don't let myself process that, so it was good to, I think, write things down. It helped mm-hmm. me to realize that it's maybe not as scary as I think it is to yeah. think about, you know, joys and pains and put it to writing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I found it was helpful to have, you know, you were talking about how we can hold those things in balance, and then actually doing the exercise, it really felt like, yeah, it brought like a balance to how I was feeling, not mm-hmm. being overwhelmed one way yeah. or the other. So I thought it was it felt very cathartic to do that.
Mm-hmm. Liked how I don't know, I mean, there was different questions or things to think about And initially I wasn't sure if it was like, do this one, then this one, then this one, then this one, or it was just choose one. But I did them in order and just found that helpful because I sort of wanted to stay on maybe some of the negative things. And then when I was like, oh, I've got to do those others, it was, I don't know, helpful to just kind of make that transition into seeing those things, and then even further moving into the hopefulness of the future, and then like kind of ending with giving praise to God seemed, I don't know, like a reorganizing of how we think. I don't know. It's easy to stop somewhere easy, so forcing that.
I felt the same way. I tend to, I've talked about this before, I tend to be a little pessimistic. I tend to perseverate on things that are hard. And this really helped me to be able to be real about those things, and also to turn my attention to what am I grateful for, what do I hope for, you know, and to just discipline myself to be praising God despite how I might be feeling. So, well, we're gonna end the service with a liturgy around this, and I will say the unbolded parts. And or do we have it, you guys? Peter, there we go. Okay, I will do the unbolded. You say the bolded part if you guys want to stand up. And thank you so much for the way you participated in that. That really blessed me.